God fulfilled his word, and there is a line through whom God would send his son, his beloved Christ, who would give his life so that today, in all of your adversity, you can know what? Joy and happiness. True joy, true happiness.
Adversity and suffering, when fiery trials come, we can know through God's word that God has a greater plan in mind. And though we may struggle and we may find ourselves in this adversity, God's designs are far greater still. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Genesis chapter 35 today. We take a look at the life of Jacob and all of his adversity and what comes out of it. With more, here's Pastor Chris as we begin with a look at what God is doing with Jacob.
One of the greatest sorrows of his life, his wife was taken. And I think what moves me about it is as I read it in Genesis chapter 35, you can feel the blow of it. And what emotion comes over you when you read this passage? That makes no sense. I mean, her life expires giving birth. That's it. And then the chapter moves. And by the end of the chapter, you have the death of Isaac, who Jacob has been gone from for how many years? That's a lot to take. A mother-like figure, your wife, and your father. Gone. Death strikes, you're never ready for it. It's a valley of weeping. And when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. We all know that. Well, if that wasn't enough, then you have this disturbing scene in verse, you'll notice here, right as chapter 35 moves on in verse 22, this disturbing scene that Reuben goes in and lays with his concubine Bilhah. Awful scene, ugly scene, messy scene. Down from Bethel, have I painted the picture for you? You step back from this and you ask, what does that produce in people, by the way? What does these kind of experiences begin to produce in people? I mean, this is a man being buffeted. He's being beaten. He's being beaten back late in life. Look, you have enough bitter experiences in life. What happens to people like this? They become bitter. How many older people do you know who are bitter and who are miserable? You know, I've seen my share of some who have been so hardened by where life's turns went and where it all went that by the end of it, I mean, they are just hard as rocks. You have enough adversity, enough sorrow. Isn't that the outcome? We fear going through all this right now. Nobody likes hearing this first part of Genesis 35. I mean, the second half. I mean, this is hard. We're taught to do everything we can in life to fix all of this so that we don't have to deal with it. And we avoid it. And instead of going through it, here's what we do. We run. But chapter 35 shows you something else. And that's why I love this. When adversity struck Jacob, what did he do? Did you notice he keeps being called Israel now? Israel did this, and Israel did that, and God wants you to say, I changed his name, remember, in this chapter. Israel, Israel, Israel. As you look at this repentant life of this man, each event, what's he doing? At each event, he's moving. He's going forward. And you see it in the way that he handles each adversity. As Rachel dies, what does she do? She cries out, and she's in sorrow, and she's in pain. She's dying. Ben Oni, son of my sorrow is what that means. This is the son of my sorrow. I'm dying. And Jacob says, no, 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 Rachel. No. His name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. Wow. I won't accept that. That will not be his name. When Rachel had Joseph, she said something. Do you remember? She said this, Lord, the Lord will give me one more son. You can go back and look at that. The Lord will give me one more son. And what is Jacob seeing? He answered his prayer. Her time is fulfilled. How many of you have seen life and death? How many of you have seen when death strikes, all of a sudden there's life right in front of you, a new baby? It's a wonderful addition. I've seen that my whole life. Jacob buries her in sorrow. He gets up and he moves on. And where does chapter 35 end? Here's what I want you to ponder for a minute. Where does 35 end? So Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. We read that Isaac's days were 180 years and he dies fulfilled. And there, standing at his deathbed, are who? Jacob and Esau. Now, I don't know how much that strikes you, but after this whole run, where does the scene end? Jacob and Esau are standing there reconciled before the death of Isaac. That's an amazing moment in Genesis. God brought him full circle. The scene of his life began in Genesis with him deceiving dad on his deathbed. Isaac's been laying there a long time to see this. Couldn't bring it about, of course. Jacob swindles Esau. How many years ago was that? Isaac sat there a long time, and the entire scene now, at the very end, he breathes his last. It's reconciled. What a blessing for Isaac. A life so troubled, a scene that ends in peace. And you see the Lord working here behind all this. You see the Lord working behind all this. At the end of the journey of life proper here in Jacob, sure, we're going to look at a little bit more of him, but it's not the focus anymore. We really transition out of his life now. He has come full circle. He's reconciled, and we move to a new period, the changing of the guard. Now life moves on to the next generation. Israel really begins after this. And I love to say this. I love to acknowledge this this morning for you to think about. The repentant life, the Christian life, is never one free from adversity, even though you're all trying to create it. In fact, it's probably going to get worse because you're going to have to face dealing when you've repented with your past. You're going to have to face going forward and realizing how negligent you've been with your life. You've probably not loved your wife the way that you should. You've probably not led in your homes your children the way that you should. How you failed. How your sins have found you out, and you got to deal with the hardships of that, which is what this chapter is showing us. Sin's residuals in a man's life later on. And the Lord never calls us to run from these things. He's taking us through them to come home to him with all the way through immense blessing. You know, this is how Paul described his own life. Listen to this. This was a man killing Christians. Brethren, I don't count my life to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? I struggle in the same way looking at the past. I struggle with the same temptations. I struggle with the warfare. I, like you, though, have said, I'm not going to look back. We're runners of a race. Our aim is not to hit a golf ball. A prize is set out in front of you. Run for it. And I'm thankful he never calls us to live off the past. You know, we look back to the trials of life and we try to run around them. And we look back to the part of the race that was really smooth. You know, this is what we do. We're always, the past always sometimes when you're in the midst of present conflict, it may even look better in the past, and we always glorify the past. And we look at the smooth times and the times maybe when husbands and wives were still living, and we look back to the point along when the race was enjoyable, and it's as if now when we've come to the stumbling block or the hurdle in the track, we don't go forward. I've seen that. They've stopped the race, and they turn around, and they say, there the light once was, but it's no longer here. And Jacob's moving forward. Forward, 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 forward. I want to encourage Mark this morning, who stood up and professed his faith. You know, I said earlier he's known nothing as a young brother, but a lot of adversity in his life, and his family has known a lot of adversity in life. And here he is at Bethel worshiping, and you're called to go forward, no matter what it is. But the Lord promises to be with you and to sanctify you in it. And I love what he said to me. He says, well, if this is the adversity, what a better time than to come to my Lord and profess faith right now. That's right. Best time. Come to him. Here's what overjoys me about the passage this morning. What is really being shown to you through the messy life of this man? The Lord has brought him home to enjoy what? Peace. Reconciliation. So powerful. What is by far the ugliest scene in this event, in this section? It's the Reuben scene. Ugh. Disgusting. Now, I've studied Lot and his daughters in the cave with you. I've studied the Dinah incident. You should know by now when you get something like this, you're going to find a real powerful working of the Lord here. That's why we preach these things. It empties us of us, and it turns us to him. When God came and made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah, what did they do? They laughed. Ha! Huh? They laughed. Who's buried in this chapter? Laughter. It's his name. That's what it means. And who's mentioned in the midst of this chapter at the very end? The 12 tribes of Israel are now mentioned. Notice that in verse 22. All of a sudden, you have a record of what's happened. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All this mess, and now God presents Israel. Where did they come from? The whole way he's been building. Now, the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, Gad and Asher. You say, look at the mess of that, and look who's standing there. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. The entire nation now is mentioned. That's what God promised to Abraham. Through all the adversity of this man's life, through sorrow, pain, and now all this death, who stands there? The holy nation. Right there. None of the strife that he went through could prevent that. None of it. None of it hurt him. God remained faithful. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. Sarah's laughter is buried as the 12 tribes of Israel stand there. I think that's awesome. But what's really remarkable about God's blessing on this man, where do you see him working? When you come to the Reuben incident, you think, what a twisted thing. Did you notice how Jacob responds? He heard about it. And he's silent. And I thought about that. I thought, why is Jacob silent? What Reuben did was not just some lustful thing. Reuben, this was not a fling. Bilhah was Rachel's maid. And everyone recognizes that when he went and did this, he eliminated and prevented Bilhah from becoming the chief wife, a blessing in the family. Reuben is strategic. Reuben is targeted. Reuben wants the blessing himself, but he wants to exalt Leah to that place. Reuben is Leah's son. Leah was the unloved wife. He's securing the place of preeminence for Leah, for unloved mom, trying to make himself the heir of Jacob. And I believe Jacob saw this adversity and he stopped and he realized something. Sins have great consequences in life. Sin has residuals, as one pastor said. Leah was unloved. The Lord didn't want her forgotten. God cared for her, and Jacob was to care for her also. But that's not it, totally. There's something else he realized. When he blesses the sons at the end of his life, who does the right of the firstborn go to? Look at the chronology and how it's presented to you just for a minute. The sons of Leah were Reuben. What happened to Reuben? Because he did this event, here's what 1 Chronicles 5 says. Listen to this. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's couch, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, so that he could not be enrolled as the oldest son. Reuben's out. That's what it just said. Reuben's out. Who's next? Simeon and Levi. What do? They slaughtered Shechem. Jacob curses them. They're out. Who's next? You've got Judah and you've got Joseph. Now, listen to the law just real quickly. If a man, this is Deuteronomy 21. If a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved, and both the loved and the unloved have borne him children, and if the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, then on that day, when he assigns his possessions as an inheritance to his sons, he may not treat the son of the loved as the firstborn in preference to the son of the unloved. Only the Holy Spirit would inspire that, by the way. Who is the firstborn? But he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the first fruits of his strength. Judah is the man. Judah is the line. Let me explain that. Jacob had no right to give the blessing to the sons of the wife he loved. But the right was based on chronology. Who is the rightful heir? Judah. And if you know your Bible, who is Judah? In Matthew chapter 1, when you open up Matthew 1 and you read where that line traveled, Judah's mentioned. And then in the very place of Rachel's sorrow, Bethlehem, where she wept for her children, in the place of her death, came forth the son who would redeem Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And God is showing you here, look at my workings through these messes. I worked it just out according to my decree. I worked it perfectly out according to how I wanted it all to go in the midst of your very messy lives. And through these messes, through all of your failures, through all of your adversity, through all of your trial, through the death of your loved ones, through all of the hardship, through all the affliction, one prevailed who came forth in all of that, who is my son. He is the promised seed of Abraham. He is the Christ. So that all the nations of the earth can be blessed in him. God fulfilled his word. And there is a line through whom God would send his son, his beloved Christ, who would give his life so that today, in all of your adversity, you can know what? Joy and happiness. True joy. True happiness. I say to you in closing, then, this morning, why are you downcast, O my soul? You know, that's Psalm 42. Are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. You don't have to be discouraged about all the problems of Russia shooting down planes, by the way. It's awful, 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 awful. They open a spy base in Cuba this week again that hadn't been open since the Cold War. You look at Israel and Gaza, and everything's in turmoil right now. The world is filled with turmoil. Your lives and your hearts have the same turmoil. Same turmoil. But the Lord says to you today, don't fear. Don't run. The Christian life is learning not to walk around these things or to rule and lead in fear in these things, but to go through them. To not run away from the Lord, but to the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know today, in whatever he tries you and tests you with, he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful. He'll never waver. In the greatest of messes, he fulfilled his word and saves all of those who come to him at Bethel. So I ask today, have you called upon his name? Do you believe? Have you fled to Jesus for refuge? Go forward to him, forgetting those things which are behind you. Press forward. Press toward the goal. Press forward in the upward calling that he's given you, and don't lose heart. One day you're going to stand back and you're going to look over the long path of life, how he preserved his saints and preserved you. And you'll stand, when you stand in glory, you're going to bow forever in praise of this God who kept his promises to you and never, ever, ever wavered. Let us today, in the midst of the affliction, receive those promises in faith, and you'll have all the strength you need to go forward.
The promises of God, designed to encourage, comfort, and renew our hope in a faithful God, especially during those times of adversity, trials, and suffering. You got Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon taking us to God's Word that we might grow and abound in His grace. Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, it's as simple as opening up your smartphone, accessing the Voice Memo app, and recording that question along with your name and where you're calling from, and then emailing it from the Voice Memo app to us, questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll let you know when. As promised, now let's return to Pastor Chris once again as we close out today's broadcast with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us like this from a text like this. And we repent that we have bought into the American ideal of, as Martin Luther once said, it's not fit that our Christ should wear a crown of thorns and his members ride on into the kingdom in cushions. You've not ordained it that way. But that's hard for us living here because this is all we've known. And when you've only known this kind of prosperity and this kind of living, it's really hard for us. And we confess that. We don't know death like this. We don't know suffering like this. But we ask that whatever it is you have for us, that you would give us your strength and your power to go forward in it. That we would not look back, but we would remember in all of that to those things that are behind, but pressing forward to those things that are ahead, for you have prepared for us a glorious kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so fix our eyes on the Savior. And thank you that through life's messes, your perfect will is accomplished. And that when we screw up so badly, you never waver and you fulfill every last word that you've spoken. Praise belongs to our God who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow on Abounding Grace, we continue our survey of Genesis, chapter 36, and the tragedy of Esau. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.